Bibles out, and if you would go to Matthew chapter 12. I want to talk to y'all tonight about a subject that's an old subject, but I don't know, I just feel it's the Holy Ghost. He's got something he's wanting to say. So we'll look at it again here tonight. I want to talk about agreement. Now it says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, "But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation." Now, I want you to take notice of the word divided. Every kingdom divided against itself. Not a kingdom that's not in agreement with something that's not of itself. You follow what I'm saying here? It's a pointed point here. Every kingdom that's divided against itself, right, is brought into desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then is his kingdom going to stand? So, Jesus is pointing out a point here, because they were talking, and if you read the whole passage right there, because he was casting out a devil, and they said, well, he's doing it by demons, and Jesus, you can't do that. In other words, the devil can't work good in your life, or he would be divided against his motive of trying to destroy you, right? So, you know, if you say, oh, well, this thing happened, but I don't know if it was God or the devil, well, we ought to be able to know. And sometimes, even myself, I've said that, man, is this the leading of the Lord or the leading of the devil? You know, but we really ought to know, because it's absolutely good or absolutely evil, right? Because the devil can't be partially good. Are y'all with me? The devil can't show mercy. Because what Jesus is pointing out here is this: look, even the devil himself knows how to work in agreement. Do you realize all of hell is in agreement? Just like all of heaven is in agreement. Where do you think hell learned about agreement? Was when they were in heaven. The only time you find in heaven that there was not agreement in heaven was when the devil rose up against God and he was instantly cast out. Instantly, God got rid of the disagreement. Right? Whatever wasn't going to bring unity, whatever was bringing division, God got it out, because heaven operates under agreement. Now, you got to understand something about agreement. Agreement, and we'll get into this in a minute, but first let's talk about division. Division is exactly the opposite of agreement. Of course, we know that. But if you even look it up in the Greek, division means to separate, right? To fracture it, to break it off. That's division. And agreement, we'll look at here in just a minute, but the Greek word for agreement is the word, you know, harmony. We get harmony from. It's a symphony. It's a harmony playing. It's all everybody in the right key playing the music or the musical, right? Okay, just think about this. In heaven, everybody's in agreement, not just saying, well, God said we've got to go do this, and so let's go do it. Just because somebody does something that somebody else told them to do doesn't necessarily mean they're in agreement. There's a big difference of having harmony or just people being obedient. So all of heaven, the innumerable multitude of angels, all of heaven, everybody there operates in harmony. So that's why God can create a world 6 days. Then take a siesta. Y'all with me? Because that's why when God speaks, things move or things happen, because in heaven there's all agreement. You know, I get discouraged when I go research on the internet about like any topic biblically, because you can just find article after article that there's not anybody in agreement. You know what I'm saying? If this person said, well, no, this is the way it is, and the other person then has a really good argument for a reason why that isn't the way it is, and it's like, even as Christians, there's not really any agreement in the body of Christ. You might find that there's an agreement that Jesus is the Son of God, and then you have fractions off of that saying, well, you know, but yes, da, 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 da. Y'all with me? But there's so much fracture in the body of Christ. There's no wonder we can't get anything done. There's no wonder we can't win the world. There's no wonder that nobody wants to listen to what Christians are saying and living, because there's just a fracture in the whole body of Christ. Now, when I'm talking about agreement, this is where I think even Christians, we get this wrong. Let's just look over it here for a minute. Let's just read the scripture first. Go to Matthew 16. Actually, I think it's Matthew 18. No, it's 16, 18. No? 18, 16. Yeah, it's 18, 19, excuse me. Yeah, it's close. A 9's a 6 if it turns around the other way. Just upside down. It's a 6 upside down. 18, 19. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, and that word agree is what I was just talking about, it's a symphony, harmony. Agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it would be done for them in heaven. But if two of you agree on earth, okay? But who are you agreeing with? This is what I want to talk about. Who are you agreeing with? Each other? Okay, well, we're going to do it this way. Well, how do you want to do it? Well, we'll do this. We'll do it like that. Well, I don't know. I don't really want to do it like that. Okay, well, how do you want to do it? And you compromise and you finally come to an agreement and say, okay, we'll do this. Is that what he's talking about? Or is he talking about if you can find two people that will get in agreement with him, it'll be done? So in other words, your opinion's taken out of the picture. Oh, we don't want to hear that. Oh, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear our opinion got taken out of the picture. Right? How many of us have really wanted God to do something for us, but we never asked Him what He wanted to do for us? Y'all with me? In other words, we're asking God, we're getting up somebody and saying, come with me and agree with me on this, because I want God to do this. But I don't believe He's talking about that. What I believe He's talking about is if two of you agree is touching anything on earth, He's talking about getting somebody else to be in harmony and act like heaven and flow in the will of God. Remember what he played? Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Thy will. In other words, God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not us. So Christians are wanting God to bless their will rather than Christians getting an agreement to find out what is God's will. Right? Now, there's certain things that we can, you know, that quick know if it's the will of God. Right? I mean, the Bible talks about it. The Bible says it, lays it out. You can absolutely know it's the will of God. It's the gray areas, the areas we get into in life of, you know, what job did I get, what this, what that, where do I, you know, that, where do I live, and that kind of stuff like that, you know, that kind of gets into a gray area of trying to figure out what is the will of God. Right? But there, I was looking it up. You can look in a Dake's Bible. He has listed there 300 and I think it's 58 or 48 times God says, I will, you know, I will, the I wills of God. 348 times he talks about what God's will is. So in other words, God didn't really like hide what he wanted his will to be. made it pretty obvious for us. It's just, do we want to get into agreement with Him, with somebody, to see God move? Are y'all following what I'm saying here? So, when we're praying about a matter, whether to know, whether to pray about it and say, well, let me put it this way. When we're praying about a matter, we need to first find out what God's will is about that matter, so then we can find somebody to get in agreement with us about it. Wouldn't that be the smarter thing? Then finding somebody to say, hey, Frank, I want you to agree with me about this. Now, of course, if he said, I'm sick in my body and I want you to agree with me for God to heal me, well, then you're lined up with heaven, right? Because it's the will of God to heal, so we're getting somebody in agreement to get in agreement with God's will. So you've got an easy one there. Now, you say, okay, I want you to get into agreement with me. Darlene, I want you to get into agreement with me because I want a new job. Well, you can get in agreement with me that God's will for me to prosper and that I will have a job. But then if I say really specifically, I've got two jobs and I really want this one. You see, now I've kind of got her over into maybe my mischief. Are you following me? Because you don't really, it's kind of sometimes, you know, maybe you have a word for God about that situation, so then that's a different story. But I'm just talking about you're just looking at the big picture and you're just trying to say, look, it's this or this or this. So, right? So, y'all following me here? All right. So, back to Matthew. In Matthew 7:21, one of the strangest scriptures, verses, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, Jesus is talking about this. He's talking about finding out the will of God. I'm telling you, I guess this message is kind of agreement / the will of God. Because we really, 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 really need to know what is the will of God. I mean, we really need to live in the will of God. At all times. In the will of God for our finances, in the will of God for our marriage, in the will of God for our lives, our neighbors. We need to be walking in the will of God. Because if we walk in the will of God and we have somebody to agree with us about it, you know what? You got success. Absolute success. So, there's another scripture you can read in Matthew 6:8. It says, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask Him. In this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I read that one a while ago. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In other words, God's will to be done. That's what He taught the disciples to pray, right? So, let's talk about the will of God for a second. I don't want to get into this too much because sometimes I don't like it. Romans, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Apostle Paul's talking to the church at Rome. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I mean, that word right there, a living sacrifice, doesn't even sound fun to me. Right? Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So wait a minute here now. We're looking for the perfect will of God. Just think about this. Think about how off we can get. We're thinking about the perfect will of God, and we're thinking about daily activities. And the Apostle Paul's telling the church at Rome that the perfect will of God is for you to transform your mind and not be like the world, but be more like Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It's not, we're not thinking on the same page here. We're wanting to be in agreement. We're trying to get somebody to get in agreement with us. But if we're going to really look at the will of God, the first thing we have to look at is the transforming of our mind. How are we thinking? And if you want to be in the will of God, then you have to get your thinking lined up with God's thinking. The problem is, do we do it? I know in my life, from where I was in the past to where I am today, that there's a lot of things that have changed in my life, in my thinking. But there's some areas that are still there. I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't totally transformed. I have come to the conclusion that most people are crazy. And so whenever their crazy flares up, that there's usually something else behind the crazy. They're not just crazy to just be crazy. There's something made them crazy. So why not find out what's behind the crazy and then see if I can help them there rather than just saying, you know, there's no hope for you. Right? I mean, all the time when I'm doing, whether it's church related or business related, I find people that get in conflict for no reason. And 99% of the time when I go and start talking to the people, I find that they get in conflict because something else is bothering them. That issue that's sitting in front of me is not really the problem. It was something else. Had a situation the other day I thought was kind of funny because I was trying to calm some guys down, and I said, look, guys, y'all don't know what's going on in that person's life. I said, he may be going through the worst days of his life. I said, he may be getting a divorce. They said, he ain't married. I said, well, that was the only excuse I could think of off the top of my head real quick. I said, but let's work through this thing, you know. I mean, but you just don't know, right? So, but Paul's saying if you're going to get in the will of God, the first thing you got to start doing is transforming your own mind, your own thinking. So how important it is for us to look at what is our thought process and what's going on in our head and to think through this thing and stop and say, wait a minute, God, am I getting myself out of the boat here? Am I launching myself out into the deep? Because I want your thoughts on this thing, and I want to do, you know, I don't want it to be my crazy thought. The thing that always scares me is that when you look at deception, a person that's truly deceived doesn't know they're deceived because that's what deception is. You don't think you're crazy. You just think everybody else is crazy. When the whole time you're the crazy person. But you don't know you're crazy because you're deceived. And so it's like, wow, Lord, how do I know if I'm deceived? I don't want to be deceived. But how do I know if I'm deceived? Because I'm not going to admit it because I'm deceived. Right? I am the crazy person, and I didn't know it. Tell me, Lord. But see, that's what happens in the process of submitting your life to Jesus as a reasonable service. Then He comes by the power of the Holy Ghost into our lives. And as long as we'll open up our hearts and our lives to Him and saying, Lord, I want your will no matter what in life. I want to walk with you. So I need my mind transformed. So I'm opening myself up. Holy Ghost, transform me. Help me. Help me to deal with my thinking, my habits, my thoughts, help me here, Lord. Then, you know, I want to tell you something. You may be deceived, but you're going to get out of it. Because if you really, truly have a heart like that, the Holy Ghost then will work within your life and get you out. Now, if you're just saying, look, I don't care what's going on. I'm right. They're wrong. I ain't going to budge. Then you'll stay deceived. And nobody will convince you that you are.
Because you're not opening yourself up. Because the only person who can ever tell you that's the Holy Ghost. You're with me?
So the very first thing to start walking in the will of God is simply this.
Are we going to renew our minds? Are we going to allow the Holy Ghost to come into our lives and speak to us?
And if you're there at that place in life and you really want to hear from God and you really are willing to do whatever, then you know what?
You're going to make it. Now, I've got some other stuff here, but I don't want to tear into it tonight. If I do, I'm just going to get too deep. And there'll be no turning back. So we'll save it for another time.
So, I want to back up just a second before we close. I believe that it's vitally important for families, for spouses, for your life to find out, are you in agreement? And I am not talking about, well, I want to eat pizza on Friday, and I want to eat enchiladas, you know? I'm not talking about that kind of agreement. I'm talking about the agreement in the family of what do you want your family to be? Are you going to be a godly family? You want to be a family that does the right thing, lives the right way, honors Jesus, it's your reasonable service, you know, that upholds Jesus. Are y'all in agreement for that? Because I want to tell you, if you're not, then what's going to happen is all of your prayers are going to be undermined because you're in division. And if you're in division, the Bible says the kingdom won't stand. The city won't stand. The house won't stand. You know, it sickens me because America right now has no agreement. People don't want to be in agreement with the will of God because they don't even want to acknowledge God. So it's so difficult for us as Christians to say, look, you got to get in agreement with heaven because people don't want to. They don't want to. So, not only can I then not be in agreement with that person, but I realize that the nation's going to suffer because we're not in agreement with God as a nation. If you take 1940s, 30s and 40s, we'll say, in America, most people on Sunday were going to church. There was still corruption. There was still evil. There was still murder. There was still rape. There were still things that were bad that went on. I mean, it still took place. But as a nation, as a whole, it was a God-fearing nation. Going through World War II, people prayed. They went to churches and prayed. And now they tell us, even in the midst of a war, we can't have a church there. That's how much our nation has changed. And I can tell you, if a kingdom is divided, it's going to fall. And we always have a remnant that is in agreement with the will of God. That'll always be there. Always be there. God promises us that's always a remnant. There's always going to be a remnant. Right? But as a nation, you know, it's got to turn. It's got to change.
Amen? So praise God. Get in agreement. Get in the will of God.